Welcome to Goose Talks. In this episode, we dive deep into the dynamics of Japanese markets and business practices. Today, we're joined by Tsubasa Yoshito, a project manager at Asia Trade Agency in Enterprise Estonia and a representative of Chetro. He brings a wealth of knowledge on helping companies navigate the intricate Japanese market. We'll discuss everything from economic trends and sector opportunities to culture nuances and strategic advice for European businesses looking to expand into Japan. Welcome, Tsubasa. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. I'm really honored to be on the podcast of the Goose Project.
Without further ado, let's get straight to business. Could you give us a brief overview of the current performance of Japan's economy?
Well, Japan's economy generally is stable and they're experiencing some growth, but not all sectors and regions are equally growing. But at the moment, Japanese weak currency, it helped Japanese exporters and especially automotive sector, for example. And this weak currency also attracts more foreign tourists into Japan. So now, the local Japanese cities are overcrowded and with tourists. And in macro economy, we see good trend too. In February this year, the Nikkei stock average on the Tokyo stock market broke its all-time record, which was set on December 1989, and now exceeded the 40,000 Japanese yen last month. So over the 30 years, Japan has been experiencing long-time recession, and there has been little price increase, and then the average salary hasn't changed at all. So what has changed in this time is the consumption tax, which is VTA, and it's from 3% to 10%, that's all. But then Japan has experienced this economic downturns after so-called economic miracle. But finally, the companies achieved the record time high profit and they start raising the employee salaries, and then deflation is now ending. I think this is a good trend.
So they're doing better than we are currently in Europe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, indeed.
Can we discuss or can we open the topic of the level of activity and success of foreign companies and particularly European companies that are having in Japanese market currently?
Well, so overall, there are many European companies successfully enter the Japanese market and then expand their business in Japan. Well, so not necessarily mention about the automotive industry, but from like several industry to the retail. So we see many European products and services in Japan. Yeah, but in general, Japanese people have a positive bias against the European manufacturers and their product. So it is good. But however, it doesn't mean that it's easy to enter the Japanese market. So there are many competitors, and then consumer behavior is different from the Europeans. So that the company have to keep in mind that there's a difference. So for example, when it comes to the retail business, so you know that UK Tesco and the French Carrefour enter the Japanese market, but they soon close their doors because they did not succeed, because they tried bring their European business model to Japan directly. And another example is a Swedish furniture company, IKEA. So IKEA also failed, not once, but twice. Yeah. But 20 years ago, they made a third attempt, and then they made a success. So that the key point was the adaptation. So they focus on the Japanese customers' behaviors, also like their interest and the price and the quality. So this is just only example, but a few example, but there are many European companies are doing business in Japan.
But what are those common challenges that the companies face? Is that the cultural side, or how would you define that?
Well, the most and the common challenge is that the language, but also not only language, but also as Europe and then to Japan, that there's a distance. So when it comes to customer service, so the European companies have to consider that how to provide customer service 24/7 in the Japanese market. Yeah.
But how one can overcome those challenges? Obviously, language, you could learn the language, but well, for me, for example, it will take a long time. Should I hire a consultant, a local representative?
I think the first things that the company can do is the contacting the trade promotion agency, like Enterprise Estonia in Estonia, and also the Chamber of Commerce, and also the embassies of the country in Japan. So those embassy and institute, they have a quite good network and they have a contact. So first, they should contact those organization.
So your advice being that go to an agency, you named a few. But what can I, well, prepare? How can I prepare for those challenges? One is going to ask directly help, but should I do my market research beforehand or and then go to an agency or start with an agency and then figure out if I want to go there or if I don't want to go there?
Yeah, of course, you can do your homework first because without knowing anything, that if you ask the agency also like have to reply a lot. Eh? So it's better to prepare yourself. And then when you are confident, you ask the agency, then agency will give you the what to do. The advise you what to do next, and then eventually, I think it's really good to go to Japan. Let's say participating in the trade show. That's also one of the good example that you will see the trend in the Japanese market, and also might meet potential partners there, right?
Could you share some do's and don'ts for foreigners when I'm going to conduct business in Japan?
Well, so a lot of companies ask me about the Japanese business manners, let's say, how they should behave in a meeting with a Japanese company, what to do in the business dinners. But I always tell them that do not waste your time on learning those Japanese business manner, because Japanese business persons, they don't care about it because you are not Japanese. So, but the one thing that they should keep in mind is that regarding the business manner, it is response time. That if you have received email from the Japanese partner or Japanese potential partner, then reply it as soon as possible, maybe no later than 3 working days without specific reasons, and then inform them about holiday plan. Yeah, so many Japanese people say that the biggest concern when they work with a foreign company is communication. Yeah. So when European companies enter the Japanese market, they often compete with Japanese local competitors, right? Who works in the same location, the same zone, and the same language as a customer. And then, like we talked before, that so European companies have a disadvantage, all of them. Eh? So smooth communication is very important.
And the speed is of essence in that sense. So the quicker you can respond, the better.
Yes, of course. Sometimes it might take time to reply because you have to research or you have to collect some information. But then tell them at least that it will take time, but I received your email and then I'm starting working on that. So it gives you that the customer or potential partners in Japan that they, you know, peace of mind.
When we dwell into more of the specific sectors, you talked about automobiles, you talked about some of the construction, but when we talk about the smart health, smart cities, the green economy and ICT, which are the focus of KUS, how are those sectors doing?
So about the sectors that the most promising opportunities. Yeah? So to be honest, all those sectors, like you mentioned, that a smart city, that smart health, ICT, they're very attractive sectors in Japan. And then I have met many Japanese companies in Estonia who are looking for those solutions from Estonian companies. But if I have to pick up one, then I would pick up the green economy, this backed by the technologies. So because many people talk about ICT and smart cities recently, but it is not that easy to bring the digital solution to the Japanese market, where the people prefer paper still. And then there are more than, let's say, 1,700 municipalities in Japan. Yeah, and they have their own policies and the system. So it's not that easy. Yeah, but on the other hand, this green economy, or let's say clean technologies, they have less complex because it is based on the technologies that are commonly used in both regions. And the European country have a strong position in this sector, and Japanese company are looking for the partners in Europe. Yeah. And recently, I think this month, Japanese company called Oji Holding, which manufacture of the paper product, they acquired the Finnish company called Walkie. That this Finnish company Walkie, they produced the environmentally friendly the paper packaging materials. So this is the sector that the company can collaborate or work together easily, or let's say easier than this ICT solutions.
Are the Japanese local companies excited or willing to, open partnership with other companies from Europe, or is it more like, oh, we prefer our own?
Of course, the Japanese company they prefer the Japanese local companies as well. I mean, it's easier, but if the technology didn't exist in Japan, or if the competitor has technology, then the Japanese company looking for solution from overseas.
Is the green economy in that sense an emerging trend, or are there any other emerging trends that you can point at? And it's like, oh, these sectors are growing as well, outside than the four that I read and the two you had.
Well, the other sector, it's not about the technology category, but also more like a demographic category. So one of the Japanese uniqueness or like this demographical situation is that the aging society. So now in Japan, we have 125 million people. Yeah. And then people who are over 65 years old is 36 million, which is almost 30%. The 30% of the people in Japan over 65 years old. And then by 2065, this number increase, although that the total population will decrease to 88 million by the time. But then the percentage of the over 65 years old will increase to 38%. So this is a promising number, because some people think that, oh, Japan is not a promising country because there are so many old people. But think again that Japanese pensioners are rich. They are the most rich age group in Japan. So when people retire at age of the 65, then in general, like in the average, the people will get around 200,000 euro as a retirement bonus. Yeah. So considering this, it is estimated also that the elderly people are having the most, let's say, two-thirds of the personal asset in Japan. So they have money. And then, yeah, so they are rich. And then the number of the elderly people will continue increasing. So now you know what you have to do. Just provide the product and solution focusing on those age group. Yeah. And then, in fact, that in a few weeks ago, I was in the Lithuania and then arranged the B2B meetings between Japanese companies and then Lithuanian startups. And then, to my surprise, the one startup called the Carybot that provides monitoring solution for the elder people, they got most interest from the Japanese company, the pushing out other AI and digital solutions. So this is an interesting point.
A few podcasts back, we talked about Colombia, and the Colombian said that when doing business meetings, the Colombian businessmen are usually interested in you, meaning that if you go to small talk about the weather, they want to know about you and get to know you in that sense. When going to a Japanese meeting with a Japanese businessman, does that happen as well, or it's straight to business and it's not considered rude?
Not really. Yeah, like Japanese people, we also know how it works with the European business culture. So in general, it's okay. And maybe this is also maybe advantage for Estonian people and then Finnish people. The Japanese people, we don't talk much. Yeah, so we don't get along with strangers. So, for Estonian people, that they just do as business that like. You are Estonian.
So in our sense, then be yourself. For the rest of Europe, you have to restrain yourself a bit more, as the culture is more laid back, kept to yourself.
But in general, Japanese people like very flexible, that they are also welcoming some Spanish or Italian people who in general talks a lot, but we also welcome.
So no discrimination.
No.
Based on your experience, what is the one most important advice or tip that you would give to a European company looking to enter the market?
So my tip is that before you enter the Japanese market, first be successful in your home market, or at least in European market, unless you are a startup. Yeah. So this is my advice, because I have received many inquiries from Estonian companies in the past, but I have to say that the company, if the company is not successful in the home market, they cannot be successful in the Japanese market either. You know, because Japanese people tend to follow the trend, follow the international trend. But Japan is not the place where your product become a global trend, or your solution become global trend. So let's say in Finland, neighboring country, many Japanese people like their design, Marimekko, Itara. The Japanese people love their Nordic design, and they are even flying to Finland from Japan, all the way from Japan, buy their, Itara product in the outlet shop in Helsinki. But the trend was not born in Japan, as you know, that this Marimekko was introduced to Japan when they become well known as a global brand in 1960s. Yeah. So the Japanese partner, they love to sell your product if they are known to some Japanese customers. Yeah. So, but nowadays the digital marketing can help the company to reach the Japanese consumers directly. So I think the gaining the popularity before entering the market is also nowadays is possible.
So entering a market is difficult, in essence that you have to have a concrete product, but perhaps a market for it, and then go, not just to try. Like you said, Ike, will try two times, and the third time it worked out. Okay, thank you, Tsuba, for this lovely, short but on point discussion. Thank you.
Thank you for having me here today. Thank you.